Our next case for today is Nikaj v. Shoe Carnival, Incorporated. Mr. Warner.
Well, it's now afternoon.
I know, it's afternoon. That's what I was saying.
Good afternoon. May it please the Court, my name is Curtis Warner. I represent the appellant who is the plaintiff, in this case, Suleiman Nikaj. Mr. Nikaj raises three arguments of why the district court's judgments on the pleadings should be reversed in this matter. First, the printing of the two-digit month does violate 15 U.S.C. 1681 CG1's prohibition, and its phrase...
Is it possible to figure out the expiration date from only the month digits?
Absolutely, Your Honor. If you have a credit card with you, I can show you. If you have a Visa or MasterCard in your pocket or anybody in the gallery, the great Karnak can tell you that as if it is
if it says 10.
Yes, if it's okay, very well. If it's October, the year is either the 14th or the 15th. This is based upon Visa and MasterCard's cycling program in which they issue new cards every 3 years.
I mean, the identity theft will guess that the year is 14, 15, 16. So he'll just have to run...
So it's a very restricted range.
Right. Yeah, it is very restricted. And in fact...
How about 5? 05.
05? That would be May. It would be either the 15th or the 16th would be the year on the credit card of the MasterCard or Visa.
Mine's 17.
What kind of...
Visa.
Visa. They must have changed. But typically it's limited.
Well, it's a restricted range. Right. It's 2, maybe 3, right. Possibly the very outside 4. Yeah. But it's not a set of random digits.
It is. And Discover has changed to 5.
To 9.
Right. And simply, if you go
and
on...
And actually the same is true of the first digit of the 16s, since if it's a Visa, it's going to be a 4. And if it's a MasterCard, it's going to be a 5. And if it's an American Express, it's going to be a 3.
That's correct. But that is a given. But however, as this court has said in Shell Oil, is the act limits the purpose. The act does its work by limiting the number of digits that are there.
It doesn't really make it that much easier to guess the information you need as an identity thief, because if you don't know 12 or let's say 11 random digits, let's suppose you know one of them because of the type of card it is, but there's still 11 random digits. Doesn't that take you, to 10 to the 11th possibilities already? So if you add another 36 or so, who cares?
Well, that is the permutation formula for the truncation part of the credit card numbers.
Right.
But we're talking about the potential of low-tech thieves dumpster diving and finding expiration dates on credit cards, which is this case.
But what good is it going to do them if they have properly truncated the first 12 digits or 11 or 12 digits of the card and have complied with FACTA to that degree?
Well, Congress has held that there is a potential harm in this case, ever so slight
as it may be.
So
Congress may be innumerate.
And Congress has actually addressed this issue twice. It has already been... The willfulness had been repealed for the printing of the expiration dates to the 2008 Clarification Act, in which it retroactively wiped out thousands of lawsuits such as this. But Congress was very certain in moving forward that the expiration dates were not to be printed at all. They were supposed to be masks. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the Third Circuit and Tommy Hilfiger came to the same conclusion.
But they also rejected that case ultimately by saying in the Tommy Hilfiger situation that there was no way you could show it was willful, right? I mean, they ruled the way you would like to see the ruling on the question of the expiration date, the partial expiration date, I'll say. But then they said, but no liability.
That is correct, Chief Judge. That is absolutely correct, and it follows what this Seventh Circuit has said, too, is that if there is no court of appeals opinion on there, each defendant offering a objectively reasonable offer of why they, a reason why they did with of the action that they conducted, is given a free pass if it is objectionably reasonable, albeit wrong.
Your theory now is that if we've got two objectively reasonable readings of the statute, as the Third Circuit found in Tommy Hilfiger, that one circuit court decides the issue, that settles it for the whole country. And it's unreasonable for anybody to disagree with it after that opinion issues?
Safeco does create that exact
no,
construct.
No, it doesn't. Safeco says that where there's no circuit opinion, then there's no guidance. It doesn't mean the opposite.
That is correct. If there is no guidance, and all and the opinions
and I can't I can't think of an area of the law where the Supreme Court has said one circuit court decision governs for the entire country.
Well, it is a reciprocal about what would a reasonable company do in their place. If a reasonable company, Shoe Carnival is a nationwide retailer with stores in Pennsylvania, where the within the Third Circuit, is completely willful in Pennsylvania to engage in that act. But yet, as the pleadings in the show, the allegation is that these are intentionally programmed and they were printing nationwide, not just in Illinois. The company is violating an act, engaging in an act that is prohibited there. Safeco creates great deference to Court of Appeals opinions where it seems that if you're using the reciprocal logic, and this court in New Singular Wireless has said that the logical place to define what the statute does mean is you look to a Court of Appeals decision. Here there was a Court of Appeals decision. This would be unfound ground after Safeco, where there is an actual Court of Appeals opinion and a company goes out and violates the same act that is already held by one Court of Appeals to be prohibited.
But the Third Circuit might have been wrong. You know, we even have a procedure when we look respectfully at what the other courts of appeals do, but if we think they've gone off on the wrong track, we all take a look at it and we say, with all due respect, we don't see things the way the Third Circuit did.
And that's correct. And
that fleshes things out for the Supreme Court when there's a conflict that signals to them maybe there's an issue that's right. Worthy of attention.
That's correct. But when you look at the actual statute, it's not the construction that was held to be the pro-offered explanation of why Shoe Carnival did what it did. It's not reasonable. In fact, it produces the absurd result is the truncation is the credit card numbers. Masking just the year doesn't really do what the purpose of the act is to do. I mean, you can figure out.
Well, I'm puzzled. You said that earlier, and it's actually Judge Wood's question. How can you use the expiration date to discover someone's account number if you only have a few digits of the account number?
It's a level of security that the credit card issuers require of, and also they require Shoe Carnival follow, which was one of the allegations. You do need to have additional information, but if you have the key to unlock the credit card, you may be driven if you know on the receipt if you have the person's name, you might be able to find them. You might be able to go to their house. You might be able to look into their dumpsters and find other bits of information.
Is the notion that you could find the person's account number, but without the expiration date, you couldn't use it?
We, in order to process a credit card transaction, you do need both the account number and the credit card number. But Congress still has said is that this is what the law is. You have to also not print the expiration dates, and either one can be a violation. And
so the legal issue, though, is when a couple of digits have slipped out there, is that the same thing as, quote, printing the expiration date? You could say even a single digit is too much. Or you could say only if all four digits of the expiration date are printed, that satisfies the statute. Or you could say, well, in the case of just the month, maybe that's not enough information to trigger the problem, but leave open the possibility that if it's the year, it's enough. I mean, there are a number of ways of looking at the statute, and I think from a statutory construction point of view, that's what we have to do.
Can I answer, Mike?
Please, yeah.
The construction of the statute itself, it's explicit that it is do not print. And that is what Congress
do not print the expiration date.
Correct. And the court in Tommy Hilfiger has held that it applies to even just two digits. The FTC
presumably
issues,
even one digit, according to the Tommy Hilfiger court.
In terms of just common meaning, If I'm placing a catalog order and the clerk asks me for my expiration date and I say June, I obviously haven't given him the expiration date, have I?
You have not given the four-digit expiration date, which is an ISO. It's a technical term, expiration date, and the industry has read expiration date to be all four digits. Shell Oil, yeah. This court entertained expert witness. This is at the pleading stage. Plaintiffs could move forward if this is reversed and show that it's an industry term, that it means all four digits. So when Congress says don't print the expiration date, it means all four digits.
Means none of the four, not all of the
correct.
Four.
None of the four. They can't print none of
all
the
right.
four. Thank
Fine.
You.
Thank you very much. Yes, Mr. Van Oort.
May it please the court, because the plaintiff here didn't suffer any actual harm and therefore is claiming only statutory damages, his job is to convince this court not just that the district court's interpretation is wrong, but that it is objectively unreasonable.
Right. So why on earth would you want to print part of the expiration date on your receipts?
I don't think there's any reason anybody would want to. This is outside the record, but this was a mistake that Shoe Carnival found and fixed before this lawsuit was filed. My position is not one on subjective intent that anybody wants to do that. There isn't any reason. The question is, when it happens by accident or otherwise, what happens is it an objectively reasonable reading of this text to conclude that printing only the month does not violate it, because what it forbids is printing the expiration date.
So who are these IT people who keep programming receipts?
I don't know if you were here for our.
I was here, Your Honor, and I had sympathy for those IT people too. What happened here is when they updated the software, it changed the meaning of what happened when you have a null entry to printing null to defaulting to printing, right? Which seems really unintuitive to me. But again, that's outside the record. And we would get to the facts if you were to reverse, and then we would talk about how the IT people did this and whether that was negligent or reckless or what it was. But under Safeco, the question now is just a purely legal one. Was it objectively reasonable to read the act to prohibit only printing the expiration date? And it is reasonable.
Even though nobody actually read and thought about it. Right?
Yeah, that's true, Your Honor, and I'm not arguing otherwise. Safeco addressed that argument, said the point isn't whether anybody read it and chose or not to. The point is whether it could be read this way.
But the problem is, if you get beyond the all or nothing, none of it would be fine. All four digits, clearly everybody agrees, would violate the statute. If you get down to three digits or two digits or one digit, there are some combinations that would give you a tremendous amount of information about the expiration date. And there are other combinations that would be fairly opaque. And I don't see that granularity in the statute. The statute seems like it's trying to establish a pretty straightforward rule.
Yeah, Your Honor, in our view, the policy one way or the other, whether it increases the odds, is not a reason to push this text one way or the other. We just don't think that's what's going on here. What Congress found in the Clarification Act is that redacting the card numbers alone is sufficient to serve the purpose of preventing identity theft.
That's clearly true from a mathematical point of view, but that's not the law that Congress passed.
You're right.
So if you had X, X5/X7 as the two digits, you could figure that out in a minute, because there are only so many possibilities. The second X has to be a 1, given the decade we're in, and the first X is going to be a 0. That's the only kind of month that there is.
Yeah, I think in that case, as a factual matter, there'd be a very strong argument that you'd actually printed the whole expiration date.
Yeah,
right.
Seems to me.
That would be a really tough case to defend. Here, it's undisputed. It was just the month, not the year. It's agreed by everyone that that's not the expiration date.
But we've agreed, too, that there's a finite set of years it could be. And for computers, it's nothing to run three runs to see if it's supposed to be a 14, a 15, or a 16.
And that's why I say it doesn't. The expiration date doesn't contribute significantly either way, completely unredacted or not. The
so
most you get is 60
statute,
guesses, right?
But we still have to respect it.
Well, you're right, and that's why I'm being very clear. Our view is that the policy doesn't push this text one way or the other. The text says what it says. What is prohibited is printing the expiration date.
And you've agreed that X5/X7 is the same thing as printing the expiration
date. I don't have to take a position on that for Shoe Carnival, but I agree with you. It would be a very strong argument that that's effectively printing it and should be treated the same way. But printing just the month is not. And, you know, plaintiff in their reply brief agreed, you know, this is page 4, there is no dispute that an expiration date on a payment card is the month and year embossed on the card. That's undisputed here. The plain language of this is undisputed. What is prohibited is undisputed.
So are you advocating a functional test, like that the number of digits printed can't allow a ready inference of the expiration date?
You know, that's why, Your Honor, when you're asking me to take a position on that one,
I'm not sure that month and nothing about the year is such a hard guess. That's the problem.
Oh, even if, like I said, even if it's all redacted, it's only going to take you 60 guesses if you go out 5 years to get there. And if you print the month, it takes it from 60 to 5. And so in terms of likelihood of identity theft, it doesn't materially change it either way. That's why I'm saying that the policy here, our view is not that you should take the policy and try to change the text our way. Not that you should take policy and change it the other way. It's that you should apply the statute straight up. And what it prohibits is printing the expiration date, and it's undisputed Shoe Carnival didn't do that.
So when you, but you're adding kind of in brackets all of. You can't print bracket all of, close bracket, the expiration date.
Yeah, it's possible to read the text in the way I'm saying without adding any words. Don't print the expiration date. It's impossible to read it plainest way without adding words, saying don't print any part of the expiration date. That's why, even though, right, this is on a textual basis, we come out slightly ahead. Remember, I would like to win on the merits for Shoe Carnival, but we don't have to. All we have to do is prove that it was objectively reasonable to read this as Judge Durkin did. And it was, because the Supreme Court, in defining what this means here, is borrowed from qualified immunity. What it means to be objectively reasonable is that the opposite rule isn't clearly established. And here it's not clearly established. It's not a matter of how many circuits or how many decisions, right? It's a sliding scale based on how clear the text is and all those other things. In some circumstances, you don't need any decisions to make it clearly established. But here, when the text is as plain as it is, one decision in the Third Circuit does not make it clearly established. I want to focus on a couple of things in particular.
You do agree, if we were to rule for you, that we would have to create a conflict with the Third Circuit.
You could avoid a conflict by ruling on the willfulness question without addressing the liability question. Whether you choose to address willfulness or liability is in this court's discretion. In the Shiloh-Kman case, you did merits first. In Van Stratton, you did willfulness first. Again, it's qualified immunity. The court has the choice. I think there would be value here in reaching the merits to clarify and advance the law, but ultimately that's this court's discretion.
Are you saying that if what the receipt said was March 201 blank, that would not be publication of the expiration date?
No, Your Honor. I'm saying there'd be a very strong argument that that was actually printing the whole expiration date, even though there was one out of the 2,000 or whatever redacted. And I think because it effectively told them what it was. Not, again, as a policy reason, but it just doesn't seem reasonable to say that you can go that far.
Well, what if it's March 20 blank blank?
Yeah, because it's printed as 2 and 2, March 200 or 20 would be effectively the same as normally, because you only do, you know,
well,
it's only 2
plus
2.
Well,
what
if it's March 2? It seems very complicated. I mean, we know what an expiration date is. It says it on the credit card. Why not just say, yeah, that's the expiration date, and if you just print a part of it, that isn't the expiration date. It's something else. It's a clue to the expiration date.
And Your Honor, I think that would be an objectively reasonable interpretation as well. It's one that this court doesn't have to go that far to resolve this case, but I think that would be a reasonable interpretation. In context, right, and that's always how we interpret language, you know, it's only two digits on each side, and you know that they're tacked together, so there aren't really four digits here. It's two. There's a month field and a year field. The only real choices are you going to redact all of them or just one of them? And the best reading on here, and the correct one, we think, is that if you've redacted either one of those fields, the month or the year, you have not printed the expiration date. Therefore, you did not violate FACTA. The one policy argument Congress did make is it said allowing very expensive litigation when there's no actual harm and no increased risk is something we want to avoid. And so if there's any policy there, it would push it that way. I don't have anything further unless Your Honors have questions.
Apparently not. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Warren, I think you did his time. Okay, you can have one final minute if you would like.
Thank you, Your Honor. No matter how silly the law is, even the United States government had, in the Brickwall case, had rejected the exact quotation of the congressional record that the defendant is citing here, is that these statutes do need to be enforced and a willfulness finding can be there. We agree that the statute is clear. We agree that the partially printing of everything.
You think
is
clear?
An issue of willfulness before us or not?
Yes. Well, the issue of willfulness is before the court, and the question is that after Safeco notes that there's not that the Court of Appeals opinions are the first to look at, when you have Tommy Hilfiger as a case on point that says the printing of the month does violate.
But is that critical? What if he didn't have a case? Well, as an original matter, is it unreasonable? That seems to be the test for willfulness. Is it unreasonable for them to have thought that leaving the month in could be compliance?
Yes. After Tommy Hilfiger, after the FTC...
No, forget the cases. Okay. As an original matter, reading this, is it reasonable to think that as long as I don't put in the entire expiration date, or as long as I don't put the years in, right? If I just have a month, that is mistaken. Maybe it's mistaken, but even if mistaken, it's not unreasonable to think that that's not the expiration date.
I'm a little confused, but if you're meaning, or as an original matter, if it's the first time up and the first time decided, yes, under Safeco they would get a free pass. But under Safeco, they shouldn't get a second free pass.
Well, I don't understand you. Are you saying that no one can be deemed willful unless there's a case?
That does seem to,
you can't
be held. There is precedent that says there doesn't need to be.
I don't understand that.
Well, it's the Supreme Court. They say that you don't have to prove willfulness. I mean, you can't prove willfulness even if there isn't a case on point, a first impression. That is correct. But here we're talking about there is case law. There's also...
Well, wait a second. Are you saying you can't prove willfulness unless there's a case out there?
No. This. I'm sorry. Perhaps I'm...
Well, then why don't you tell me, would this be willful if there'd never been a case?
It could be found to be helpful. Willful if there was never a case. It could be, because our position is that the text... is clear that there was also FTC guidance, that there was also...
Is the FTC guidance specific on this question?
They do show a picture of that. It is supposed
to...
Well,
They have not said it's a violation to print only the month, have they?
They have stated that it does need to be deleted or masked, and that there is enforcement actions for violating.
That's okay. The answer is no. They have not said this violates the law.
Not specifically, a reasonable corporation, if the general counsel, would look at that and look at Hilfiger and come to the conclusion that perhaps this shouldn't be something to be done, or they would seek either legislative or guidance from the FTC. If there are no further questions.
No further questions. Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.